scriptures because we don't have a lot of time. And this morning, I want to finish on a topic that when I had opportunity to speak to the children of God, men and women of God that God has brought into this generation, I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? Look, you need to still finish the word that I didn't finish through you, which is understanding the purpose for your life. So this will be the concluding aspect of that message. If you were not here about 4 months ago, you can go to the church's YouTube page or SoundCloud and listen to the part one. Hallelujah. Let's take our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. And I'll just give a quick recap. So the Bible says in Proverbs 19:21 that many are the plans in a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose that will prevail. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose that will prevail. And you realize that when God is dealing with man, God talks about the heart of man, the heart of man. All right? The heart of man is very powerful, not the heart that is pumping blood in you. All right, that is not the heart. When God is, the Bible is talking about heart, that is not that. It is an element of your being, your soul. All right, Bible is talking about that personality within you, your emotion, your intellect, your being, your soul. So that is the heart. So many are the purpose in a man's being, makeup. All right, but it is God's intent for that man that will stand. Hallelujah. Then when we read the book of Proverbs chapter 3, 5 to 6, the word of God says that trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. So the word of God has used the word heart again. Very powerful. Hallelujah. Then in Isaiah 46, 9 to 10, and I read, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God. There is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come, I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Say, my purpose. So what is purpose? In series one, I explained the Oxford Dictionary meaning, and I said that the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things that we need to know as child of God is, you sitting here, all right, you have a purpose, and the word of God is trying to, you know, unveil that purpose, why you are here, so that you'll be able to function according to his will, to bring that impact in your generation that God designed you to do. Hallelujah. So the reason... Now, I did say that when a manufacturer produces a product like a phone, and I use the phone in existence had already a purpose before the manufacturer made it. He had already designed the intent of the phone. All right? So the phone coming into existence is not coming to discover its purpose. It is already living its purpose. Hallelujah. You are not created to discover your purpose. You were created to live your purpose because God has already built purpose within you. And we need to get that one. Now, this morning, we'll be looking at some biblical examples, including Jesus Christ, why he came on earth. Because there was a purpose why God brought him here. And we'll look at that in scripture. But let's look at this. Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis, the reason why man was created, the purpose. And I'll go over it because this is a scripture that we know. Then 1:26 to 27. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. 27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Hallelujah. That is the original purpose of man. Man was created to rule. Hallelujah. There is rulership within you as man. And that is why God created. So when God created man, God had already said this in his manufacturing plan. Let's, for the purpose of understanding, we are saying that God designed us in a manufacturing plant in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm. And in that manufacturing plan, when we check scripture, there were three supreme beings, at least we are told, that were present. God the Father himself was there. God the Son, how do we know that God the Son was there? Because if you read the book of 1 John, one going, the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was who? God. And nothing was created that wasn't created without him. Hallelujah. So we got to know from the book of 1 John that the Word that was spoken was Jesus himself, and he is God. So Jesus was there. And in Genesis, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And when he was hovering over the water, because the earth was void, and all of a sudden, God spoke the word that let there be light, and there was light. So God the Father was there, the Spirit of God was there, and the Word of God, who is Jesus, God, was spoken. And because God is in himself manifesting his word, the Word of God was able to, you know, bring power. And so that creative power that God said, that, look, we've done all this marvelous thing, but we want to create an image of ourselves, a likeness, another entity and being who is called mankind. And that mankind will reflect something within us, our image. So God began to say that let's form man in our image. Now let me tell you one thing. Although we have angels in the heavenly realm, God called the angels into existence, but when it came to man, God created man in his image. There are certain things deposited within man that the angels, with all the power that we think they have, are not able to exhibit that. So in Psalm 139, verse 4 going, David in praying to God, that God, I'm praising you because I know that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Look, you are not just a being sitting here. You are created in God's likeness. Hallelujah. But why is it that we are not discovering that we are not just human beings? You are not just a human being. For you to know the power you carry, and for you to know the abilities you can possess, determine where you know your origin is. Hallelujah. If you know where your origin is, you will be able to know that you are capable of doing certain things that the natural person who has not discovered that is capable of doing. Your origin, although you are born Australian, although you were born English and you migrated to become Australian, or you are African, you migrated to become Australian, your origin is not the country of birth you come from. Hallelujah. Your origin is in the realms, in the heavenly places. Your origin is in heaven. Hallelujah. That is where you come from. Because God created man in divinity. God only placed man in a body and put man on earth and say that dominate the earth. But you are not from here. We need to understand that. We need to have, you know, a consciousness of that. So in creation, we've established that three powerful beings, one God in three persons existed, and they created us in his image. Hallelujah. So we have God the Father, who is the chief, you know, executive officer, if you are looking at the company. Then we have the Word, who is the chief operations officer. Then we have the Holy Ghost, who is the chief quality officer. These three personalities. Hallelujah. Now, in a manufacturing plant, those of you who have worked in manufacturing, anytime a product is made, for it to be released onto the market, there are so many quality checks that are performed on that product. At least, even if I've not seen it, I've worked in about two manufacturing plants in my career. And in Australia, I work in a company that produces bottles, all right? And before those bottles will come out, there are so many checks. And the quality managers, they have certain eye. When they take a bottle, with your physical eye, you will not see defect. They will take the bottle and they will look at it and know that there are certain defects. It took me time for me to learn that skill. That what is wrong with this bottle? In my natural eye, everything is normal. But they look at it and say that, hey, that is wrong. It needs to be corrected before it goes onto the market. Why? Because the moment the product is released onto the market, the manufacturer will put something we call a seal, an image on that product. That image or seal represents the manufacturer. So if the product should go and fail, it means the manufacturer is failing. If they are, you know, if they are suing the product because they are defect, it means it's tarnishing the image of the manufacturer. So God knows that God has put his image in us. So the moment man is failing, it becomes a reflection of God, because what we are trying to tell God is he did not do his quality checks well and release that product on the market. So whatever complaints that are coming, he takes absolute, you know, responsibility. But God didn't make mistake. God never created man to fail. God created man in completeness, and God placed something in man, and he knew that man is capable. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, certain circumstances that we go through in life is because we've not discovered who we are in Christ. And I want us to look at this. Every human being, whether you are born again or not, you have a default function called a function that praises God. And the psalmist said that let everything that has breath praise God. Hallelujah. Within you is that ability to draw man onto his creation, his creator, and to draw creation back to God, because it's a function, it's wired within. That is why every religion is seeking after God. But Jesus Christ said that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Why is it that there are so many religions and everybody is seeking after the supreme God? Because within us is a function. It's already wired. Hallelujah. So that is one thing that we need to understand. There were certain things about product. If a product goes to the market, this phone, an iPhone, the manufacturer will put warranty that I'll put about 10 years warranty on this product. So if you have the product and there's any factory fault, you can send it, they will repair it or replace the phone for you at no cost to you. Hallelujah. Because the product is supposed to function. Now I want to tell you something, a mystery about faith. We know what faith is, but I want to tell you something about faith. If you know that God created you in his image and you possess supernatural abilities, you can do the supernatural things, and certain things are battling your life, you can access certain things from God through faith, and those things can happen to you if you believe. Hallelujah. Because you can challenge God to say that, look, you created me in your image. This sickness that is tormenting me is not from you. And I am under warranty under the Spirit of God. And I have faith in you. So I am demanding that as a product, as a divine product, whatever is happening in my life that shouldn't be, needs to be retained. This one is faith. So we saw in the Bible that there was one time that a woman had an issue of blood for 12 good years. And she saw that the creator of the universe is on the scene. And this woman said that, look, I cannot continue living with this condition. I have seen the creator, the person who created me. She said that I was completed in creation. So I need to make sure that that product that has gone wrong, I need to consult him to say that you need to replace that product for me. So the woman just in faith touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And Bible says instantly the flow of blood ceased. This is also a woman who understood what warranty and guarantee of his creation is. So when he met the creator, he said, look, I need to get hold. And instantly that woman received because she understood. Then Bible says that a time came, Jesus was entering into Jericho with a crowd.
And within the crowd was a blind man who was crying. He said, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." Son of David, he was like, "Son of David, there's something wrong with me. This is not how you created me. I know that you are willing, you are capable of restoring everything that has gone wrong. I know that you can reset my function, and I'll begin to function the way you created me." Son of David, and people were there discouraging him, and he was shouting, he was crying, and Jesus said, "Bring that person to me, because he is challenging the others in the realm. I need to talk to that product that I created." And God said, "Bring him to me." And Bible said they commanded him that, "Be of good cheer, he is calling you." And he came and he asked him, "What can I do for you?" And he said, that I may see. And Bible said that the moment he began to say that, he said, "He has challenged me. He has gotten to know what he is made up of. He is saying that, look, you created me with two eyes, but that product is defective. I want my sight that I could see." And instantly, God in Jesus prayed for blind Bartimaeus and he received his sight. Yes. What are you telling me, son of God, child of God, daughter of God? If you are able to challenge God, if you are able to tap into this dimension of God, there are certain things that you shouldn't get scared of. Hallelujah. Not only blind Bartimaeus, there was also one time that Jesus entered into Jericho and a crowd. And there was one of his products who said, "Look, I need to tap, I need to discover my purpose. I'm wealthy, I'm rich, I have all the resources, but something is missing. I've seen my creator working," and this person was Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus had a defect and he was short, so he couldn't, you know, connect to Christ. So he climbed a sycamore tree. And when Jesus was passing away, he said, "Zacchaeus, come down. Today salvation has come to your home." Hallelujah. From that encounter, Zacchaeus was able to repurpose his intent. And he was able to live to fulfill what God asked him to do. I don't know what you are struggling with as a child of God. I don't know what is tormenting your life. But if you can challenge God in your faith, because faith doesn't know any boundary in the realms of the spirit, God can use your faith. And God can use that little faith, and whatever is dead in your life can resurrect back again. Because Jesus said, "My Father is working, and whatever I see my Father do, I do." And this Friday, God taught me something. I came for prayer meeting, and this particular one, my little girl, 3-year-old, said he wants to follow me. I said, "That's fine, come." Then normally when we come, I will normally sit here or stand here and we'll talk and we'll pray. And this little child began to climb here. Initially, she was scared because of a little height. But she mastered the courage and I was sitting here. For me, when I sit here, my legs will touch the floor, so there's no fear, all right? She mastered the courage and came and sat beside me. And I saw that all of a sudden, the fear in her disappeared. And I look at her and the Holy Spirit told me, that you understand the scripture that Jesus said, that what I see my Father do, I do. And Jesus hasn't got any fear because every good thing, every miracle that he performed, he saw the Father do. He saw that the King of glory is doing it. So there's no fear. There's no failure in him. Then this little child now woke up, stood, and began to walk and climb down without any fear. It ministered a lot to me. How many times are you seeing in that lens of faith? Wow. So that you can take any fear from your spirit. Look, you are a powerful entity. Never allow the devil to deceive you that you are powerless. There are so many things that we are not doing as children of God because we allow fear. We think that we are just human beings. You are not just a human being. You are created in the image of God. Hallelujah. Because the word of God said, "Sanctify them by your truth, for your word is all truth." And it is the Holy Spirit that has sealed us for the day of salvation. Now, let me blow your mind with this. To be successful in life doesn't matter of your age. Success is not dependent on age. Because we have some young men and women who
who in their teens are millionaires. And we have some mummies and daddies and grandpas and grandmoms. At that age, they are very poor. Success doesn't, but success is directly proportional to you discovering your purpose. How do you discover that purpose of God? It's very important. That is the concluding. I'm getting there. How do you discover that? Because God created you to rule. And in that rulership, it's not only being a pastor or a prophet or an apostle or an evangelist or a teacher, the fivefold ministry that the Bible spoke about. Those dimensions are there. But God is expecting you to rule in every sphere of life you find yourself. So in your community, in your family, in your school, in your workplace, the moment you find yourself in that environment, you represent God. And Paul said that we are seated in the heavenly realms, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So although you are physically seated here, you are seated higher above principalities and powers. You got to believe that. So sometimes, and if you're a child of God, there are certain visions and dreams that you have. You don't have to take them lightly. Because you are a three in one being, physically you are here. You perform activities in the physical realm. But sometimes in your dream, God takes you to certain places and show you certain things that when you see those things, you don't have to take them lightly. I've told my wife before that sometimes I have certain dreams, and in those dreams, I have a lot of strong battle. And the Spirit of God will take me to certain places, and people are being murdered, and I have to go and intervene in a fierce battle. There are certain times that even my children, the devil wants to harm them, and all of a sudden I will appear, and I'll grab that child of God and say, stand behind me, and I'll command the devil, if you have power, come. It has happened to me on so many occasions that I appear in dream in such, and I do warfare, and with time, those people that I was able to contend on their behalf, you speak to them and they will tell you that they were going through certain things, but all of a sudden, that thing disappeared and they don't understand. I say, you don't know what God did behind the scenes in the realm of the spirit. God has to use someone who knows his purpose, who is living through him, took you in that realm that you don't want to function well, and that person fought on your behalf. Man is not only physical, we are spirits. Yes. That's why Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are life and they are what? Spirit. So the moment you begin to speak certain things, it happens. And in the prayer meeting, we are using Hosea 2:28 to pray that, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And Bible said that your sons and daughters will do what? Prophesy. And your young men and women will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. And God took my spirit somewhere and he said that, your young men and women will prophesy. And he said in the book of Ezekiel 37, when God took the spirit of Ezekiel into the valley of the dry bone, when they were having that interaction, Ezekiel was in a vision, but all of a sudden, God asked him a question, that son of man, can these bones live? And he said that, God, it is only you. So God was talking to Ezekiel in the realm, and he said that you, Ezekiel, I put something in you, but I want to know how you think. And he said, Ezekiel began to, you know, fear because he didn't know what to say, but he said that, God, only you know. And God began to tell Ezekiel, that son of man, prophesy. He said, begin to prophesy. The prophecy is not that somebody has seen something and he's talking about the future. I said, begin to create something. And Ezekiel had that spirit within him and he began to prophesy. And the moment he began to speak life, all of a sudden, the dry bones who were dead, they began connecting together. And life began to... Hallelujah. That is the power the Holy Ghost has placed on us in the last days. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Not because they will be in church and they are just prophets. They will look at situation and they will begin to speak to those situations. And those situations will begin to obey them. Why are we not helping our children to prophesy to those evil situations in their school? That, hey, we don't want to allow those negative behaviors in the school. We begin to prophesy that my school will turn from darkness to light. Because it's going to happen. Because they have the Spirit of God.
And our mummies and our daddies, the young men and women, will begin to dream dreams. God was able to preserve the life of his son Jesus through dream. Now, when Joseph was asleep, the Bible said the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, not physically. Mary had a physical encounter with the angel, but Joseph, when Herod wanted to kill the firstborn son, God appeared to Joseph in a dream. He began to dream dreams. What if Joseph didn't believe in that dream? What could have happened to baby Jesus? But this was a man who understood the spiritual dimension of his being. So when the angel of the Lord came to him in the dream, he believed that it was God who spoke to him. And Bible said that he acted on the dream. He took Mary and the son and the child, and off they left Jerusalem to Egypt. So as a child of God, you need to understand those purpose, those things that God has built in your life. Hallelujah. Everybody has been wired differently. The fact that you are humankind or mankind doesn't mean that you will function the same way as Pastor Paul will function. Hallelujah. Because Pastor Paul has a unique purpose. When God created Pastor Paul, he created him and put certain abilities in Pastor Paul. So you cannot just be like Pastor Paul. You have to live to be like yourself. Hallelujah. It is when we begin to live the purpose that God has given us, that is when we begin to destroy the works of the devil. Now let's look at this. And Jesus himself said in 1 John 3:8, he said, "The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." Hallelujah. So Jesus, when he came on earth, he had one purpose. He said that the first Adam did something wrong. He just released the power God put in him to the devil in Garden of Eden. And Jesus said that, "Look, I am the second Adam. I'm coming. The reason why God created me in the second Adam to come and rescue man is to come and destroy the works of the devil." And Jesus Christ was focused on that purpose. And he executed that purpose brilliantly, calculated. And he ensured that when he finished his ministry on earth, that purpose was executed. Purposeful people don't need 1,000 years to fulfill the assignment on earth. Sometimes it is good to live long in age. It's good to live long in age. But if God blesses you to live long in age, never fear death. Hallelujah. Death is not to be feared, because God created everything, including death. Hallelujah. Maybe you are living long because you have not yet discovered your purpose. And you may have 5 years to live, but if you are able to discover why God put you here, that 100 years out of the 5 years left, all right, you live a more fulfilled life than that 95 years. So when Jesus Christ did 33 and a half years and he fulfilled his purpose, he went back into the heavens. Hallelujah. When Elijah fulfilled his purpose on earth, an angel of the Lord came down in a chariot and took him away. And Bible says that we had a man called Enoch. And Bible says that Enoch experienced so many dimensions of God. He stood and lived his purpose. And Bible said I got to a time and Enoch was not, because God took him away. Hallelujah. You are designed to perform a particular assignment. How do you discover your purpose in conclusion? How do you discover your purpose? John chapter 15, 4 to 8. Let's read that scripture. And the word of God says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. I thought you are clapping unto Jesus. So Jesus says, because I created you and I hold the manual of your life, for you to be able to live your full potential, you need to connect in me. You need to abide. Now, to abide means to live in, all right? Living for him alone. You live in, you live for him alone. You trust in him to finish the works for your purpose of existence. How are we abiding in someone? In Christ. Because to abide in Christ is not just by confessing Jesus Christ. It comes with commitment. Because the Bible says in Galatians that walk in the Spirit, all right, and once you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Because the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit and those two personalities are struggling. But once you're able to walk in the Spirit, you'll be able to subdue the flesh, and you'll be able to execute the purpose. So it comes with commitment. It comes with the discipline to study the word of God. Like Joshua 1:8, that don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate upon it day and what? Night. And he said that you have to observe to do accordingly what is written. So it comes with commitment. Never ever think that you accepted Christ as the Lord of peace and which will give people opportunity to accept. But once you do that, you have to go through foundation classes. You have to understand the meaning of your faith, the journey you are embarking on, and you need to commit to study of the word of God. Another thing that you need to commit to do is prayer. Jesus, in his purpose on earth, committed time to pray. So we read in his life journey that every day at dawn, he will go to a quiet place where he commune with God. How many times are we praying? We have one religion, they pray 5 times a day. How many times do Christians pray a day? You call for prayer meetings, people don't come. Both online, both face-to-face, you see regular faces. Let's believe that people are praying in their closets. But even if we are not seeing it in the church, then it tells me that in people's closets, they are not praying enough. I'm telling you. Because if the church is praying a lot, then you can have the guarantee that people are praying in their closet, because there is a burning desire in them that is pushing them from their home to come to pray, or that will push them to wake up early Tuesday morning, Thursday morning, 6:30, and join the online and pray because they are full of prayer. But because it is not happening in their closet, we are seeing low numbers, Pastor Paul. And last 2 weeks, I was praying with God concerning the church, and God showed me the flame that is burning, and I saw that the flame was burning, but it was not growing bigger, and I told God, that why is the flame burning? And it's not, he said, because only few people are praying in the church. Only few people are praying in the church. If everybody here, as part of abiding, will commit to pray 3 times a day, or even if you can't, once a day, and it is consistent. And in that consistency, you are praying for your family, for the church, for the nations. Don't you think Jesus' purpose to destroy the works of the enemy will be fulfilled in you? Because through you, his intent is to destroy the works of the devil. So if you are not doing that, how does God destroy the works of the devil? We shouldn't only run to the pastors when we are in trouble. We should always pray. That's why Jesus said that pray without ceasing. The Bible said pray without ceasing. Always you got to pray. We are not reading the word of God enough. We are not praying enough. Even these two common things you are not doing. How much more fasting? We are not. But yet we want to experience all the good things about God. And Jesus has said that if you abide in me, you commit yourself, ask me anything. He didn't say some things. He said anything. Anything is possible because you are abiding in him. You are committing to fellowship. You are committing to the word. You are committing to prayer. You are fasting when you need to fast. Then Jesus doesn't have any excuse. The moment you say what you want, it happens. Because you are committing him. How many of us are committing God? You can only commit God to act in certain dimensions when you yourself, you fulfilled your purpose. What you need to do to be able to command God to do certain things. It's not every child of God. That is why I like corporate prayer, all right? Because in corporate prayer, you are sharing, you know, your strength, because there are certain people within, they have certain relationship that you might not have, and you are praying on the same topic. So the moment you leave that topic, because it's a corporate prayer, those things are able to ascend into the realms, into the throne room of God. Church, we should never neglect corporate prayer. Pastor Paul is leading Tuesdays. It's just 30 minutes. 6:30 to 7. On Thursdays, 6:30 to 7. Just 30 minutes. How many of us, if you can't even come to face, why can't you program your calendar and say that, look, I want to join just 30 minutes? And I've said that in face to face, don't come every month. Just say that, look, once a month, I want to dedicate 1 hour of my time and I'll come into this sanctuary and pray and intercede. Because when we come here, we intercede, we do a lot of intercession. Abide in him. If you are able to do that, you are fulfilling that purpose. Let me tell you, those of us who use a laptop, when you are there, the windows will say that, upgrade. We want to, update the programs. Then he said that 5 minutes, 15 minutes, your computer will restart and the update. For you to live to your potential, there has to be an update to your spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit that has the ability to update you to your fullest potential. Hallelujah. So if you don't child of God, if you don't do certain things, if you don't commit certain things, certain results are not going to happen. I know that the word is being harsh, but this is what we need to hear. Hallelujah. So let's learn, because there's a spirit in you and I. That is the Holy Spirit that knows everything about you. The same way the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that knows about God is the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And Bible said that the Spirit of God is able to, you know, search the deep things of God. And it is that Spirit of God that does the download and upgrade. So once you have God and his Spirit, he begins to reconfigure you. Hallelujah. Then let me also say this. On Friday, when we closed, I was exiting, I saw some youth, you know, doing horseplay. They were playing as, I was like, are these people part of Life City Church Youth or whatever? I began to look. I said, then all of a sudden I saw that they've taken another path. And I said, God, yes, this cannot be our youth. Because they are being taught a lot of godly things that they will not be doing those kind of rubbish play. And I was happy in my spirit that at least they were not part of our youth. At least our youth are being taught how to be well behaved in church and outside of church. And I pray that God, let these boys discover you. And I said that prayer for them. But I was happy that at least they were not you from here. And I was like, what is happening? I'm not expecting this to come from our youth. And God proved me right. It's not one of you. In conclusion, I came this morning to challenge you to think deep inside of you, that you sitting here, you are not just man, woman, seated here. One, your origin is not earth. God created you in the realms and placed you here to rule. Ruling doesn't mean that you have to become a prime minister or a president. Some were given that ability to become. It is part of the purpose. But whatever sphere of influence you find yourself, you need to rule. It is when you rule that you are fulfilling that God's purpose for mankind. If we are all, every ruler wants to see progress in his kingdom. Hallelujah. They want to see progress. You know, they want to see growth. So if you're a good ruler and you are ruling within your space, there has to be growth. So if I'm ruling well in my space, and Frankie is ruling well in his space, and Jane is ruling well in her space, the moment we come together, we compare notes and share ideas, and you will see that that influence will spread. And that is what also brings about revival. If we are all praying, and we are all praying hard, and we are all praying, and we combine that force, you will see that that power will move and spread. You have that power sitting in you. Don't allow the devil to play a mess with your life. When the devil comes at you, speak the word of God against the devil. The devil doesn't fear you, but he fears the word of God sitting in you. That is why the Bible said that greater is he that is in the inside of you than he that is in the word. Even Jesus himself, the devil came to tempt him. The only thing that Jesus on earth used to defeat the devil was the word. Himself, he spoke his word back to the devil. And when the devil saw that, hey, I cannot contain it, he back off. How are you going to activate that power of God within you so that you can live your purpose? The earth is dying because sons and daughters of God are refusing to live their purpose. That is why, you know, Paul said that creation is waiting eagerly for the manifestations of the sons of God. Creation is waiting on us. When are we going to tell creation that we are ready, we are living our full potential? Because they are waiting for our manifestation. If you are able to activate this within your spirit in faith, the devil cannot contain you. The devil sees you coming this direction, and the devil will go that direction. Sickness sees you coming, all right? And the moment sickness encounters your shadow, that sickness will begin to give way. It happened to Peter in the book of Acts. They discovered that power in Peter. So what they started doing was lying the sick. And they were hoping that the shadow of Peter would just flash over them. And when Peter passed by and his shadow flashed over them, strange sicknesses were departing. Demons were fleeing. That same power that worked in Peter, that same power that worked in Paul, that same power that worked in the apostle, we have that same power sitting in the inside of us. Church, we can do it. In this last time, creation is waiting for our manifestation. We shouldn't let God down. Because there will not be a Jesus again to come and die to save mankind. He's already come to die. And he's already, you know, poured out his spirit. We need to take that mantle and move out and do our purpose. Begin to stand on your feet as we pray and thank God. Lift up your voice, child of God. I want you to pray. I want you to challenge something in your spirit. And say that, Daddy, you created me, you put me on earth for a purpose. You see, you cannot know your purpose if you are not connected to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God becomes real in your life when you have Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. If you've not accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, or you've made that confession, but you didn't make it with any meaning, I'm giving you another opportunity for you to lift up your hand so that I can pray for you. That Father, let's all eyes close. If you want to connect back to the Spirit of God and open up your spirit unto Him, let me see you by hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to see hands. I can see some hands. If you want to connect back to your soul, you want to, you have a burning desire that I have to do this, But I don't know how to go about it. Lift up your hands. I want to pray for you. Because the power of God is here this morning. And I want you to say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you once again. Forgive me my sins, the sin of unbelief. This morning, I open up my heart. Let Jesus come and live within me. And let the power of the Holy Ghost overflow in my life. In Jesus' name. I also want to pray for the sick. There are angels over here. And I'm praying that if you have any condition in your body, I want you to place your hand over that area. It could be something growing in your brain. It could be a cancer that is growing. It could be a fibroid. It could be anything. It could be a pain, a part of your body. I want you to, put your hand there as I pray. Father, I know your word is truth. Because your word said that we shall know the truth and the truth will set us free. And I know Jesus Christ is the truth. And you said that the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But your son Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Father, I speak in authority in the heavenly realm. And I demand your divine healing to release upon your children. Any tumor of the brain, any cancer in the tissues and in the marrow of the bone, any disease of the blood, I curse you to die and I uproot you in the name of Jesus. I command arthritis, I command fibroid to melt away in the name of Jesus. I command straight migraines to leave in the name of Jesus. And I declare, oh God, that person, your child, that has been marked for surgery, I discontinue that physical surgery in the name of Jesus. I thank you, oh God, for victory, and I thank you, oh God, for glory. In Jesus' name, let's give a clap offering unto Jesus. If you need prayers, I'll be here with Pastor Paul, and some of the leaders will be down here after the service. Come, and we'll pray for you. God bless you.